Welcome to a very special Way of Warrior podcast. I am Scott B. Black, and each week I deliver highly relevant and actionable content to help you fight and win your good fight. This week, we're going to learn about one of the greatest good fights in America. It is literally a fight between good and evil, between heaven and hell, between life and death. Do you find the issue of abortion hard to talk about? I know I do. Are you ever confused with all the attacks and the counterattacks? Are you afraid to ask questions or have an opinion at all when it comes to this important topic, this topic called abortion? Do you have some questions and do you have some concerns about the proliferation and the many forms of abortion? Well, today, we're going to address those. I'm honored to welcome Dr. Ingrid Skop to today's show. Dr. Skop is a friend, and Dr. Ingrid Skop is the Director of Medical Affairs at the Lozier Institute. She is also a practicing board-certified OBGYN. And why this matters? Because she has delivered more than 5,000 babies and has personally treated many abortion pill-related complications. And Dr. Skop is really focused. Her big fight is on the abortion kill pill. That's what brings her to us today, because she's also part of another organization that's called the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And it's comprised of pro-life doctors and medical groups who has sued the Food and Drug Administration and Dancro Laboratories, the manufacturer of the deadly and dangerous kill pills. They want to hold them accountable for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. Again, I am so honored that Dr. Skop took time to visit with me on this podcast. She barely scratched the surface of the battlefront, but trust me, this battle is being won and it can be won if we stay true to the cause and never yield. We recorded this just a few days ago. I pray this impacts you as much as it has for me. First of all, thank you so much. I know you got a busy schedule. Thank you for joining us today, Doctor.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, and we were talking before I pressed the play button, and, you know, there's a lot on the landscape. You know, when I heard Roe v. Wade was overturned, the Dobbs versus Jackson decision, all this resists this euphoria. And what I've noticed since then, there's a lot going on in this realm. And if you could maybe open up with just speaking on the bigger, broader subject, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thank you. You're right. There is just a lot of confusion right now. When the Dobbs decision happened overturning Roe v. Wade, I think to some extent it was like the pro-life movement was the dog who caught the car. We'd been working for it for 50 years and suddenly we had it. But what we didn't realize was that the American public for 50 years had been gaslighted. They'd been told that women must have access to abortion in order to be successful. And so we didn't realize then, but we realize now that it was critical to inform the American public about the truth about abortion, because so many people still do not understand. And what the abortion industry has capitalized on the confusion. I think that there really was kind of a three-prong response of abortion advocates to the Dobbs decision. Well, they always go with the judiciary, right? Yep. So about half of the states immediately either passed laws or began enforcing laws that they had on the books protecting unborn life. Every single one of those states was sued, and about seven of them are still fighting in court to be able to enforce their law. The second approach was that these abortion drugs are widely available. So their abortionists are breaking the laws to mail them into the states. We'll talk, I'm sure, in much more detail about that. But to provide abortions for women in states that are trying to protect their children's lives. And the third thing that has been so frustrating and so dishonest is fear-mongering. And so we've seen that they've made the allegation that doctors won't be able to provide quality medical care, that states with laws protecting unborn life will have increased maternal mortality, that women will die because of these laws. And along with that, as you mentioned, has been fear-mongering about losing access to IVF, losing access to contraception. We've seen doctors saying they don't think they can intervene on for a woman who's having a miscarriage. I mean, obviously, wow, all lies,
yeah,
but the end result is that the American public don't really know what's true. They don't really know what these laws are trying to do, and they are afraid that they're going to lose access to things that they've come to rely upon that are totally independent of abortion.
Yeah, it's just stunning that the programming, it is really a skillful job they're doing. I'm not in a positive. It's terrible what they're doing, but they are doing it so well. They attack the narrative, and the narrative is that this is just basic health care. How dare you tell a woman what to do with her body? It's basic health care. I think that's been going on for decades now, to where we bought into that narrative that's basic health care. But the fear mongering, and I believe it started happening back with COVID, where we started hearing the phrase, follow the science. And you talk about a statement that is loaded with lies, because what science? Political science? Because you're a doctor, and what they're proposing is unscientific, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So two sides of that coin. And one is that absolutely this is not reproductive health care, because health care is maintenance and restoration of the health of the body and mind. Ending human life is obviously the opposite of health care. And reproductive freedom is another term that we're hearing. But of course, there's nothing that's reproductive about ending unborn life. That's not going to reproduce the population. And freedom, many women are coerced into abortions, and they don't have the freedom to do what they really want to do, which is to give birth to their child. So they've managed to control the language, the euphemisms. They have almost every media, mainstream media, spouts the pro-abortion talking points. And sadly, unfortunately, many mainstream medical organizations do as well. But I do want to let you know that 90% of obstetricians do not do elective abortions.
Wow.
So obviously that right there will tell you it's not necessary women's health care.
Yep.
If it was, women's health care professionals would be doing it. But we don't, because we know we have two patients and we want to protect both of their lives.
You know, and this is the spiritual side about me, because first and foremost, I'm a child of God, and this just rips my soul out. And to have this conversation today when we seem to be so far away from the God of the universe, it's a bad time to have this conversation that needs to take place, because a lot of people don't want to believe in the God particle, or that God piece, that human life has value. And so, yeah, it's a scary time. And this is why it's so important what the Lozier Institute's doing, what you're doing. I am just so honored to give you guys a platform. Is it fair to say that the new battlefront for abortion is in the pharmaceutical arena? Is that fair?
Well, it certainly is the place that we're seeing widespread promotion. Unfortunately, last year, after years of seeing abortion numbers drop, we actually, the Guttmacher Institute reported that we're back over 1 million abortions. Wow. And they also told us that 630,000 of those are abortion drugs.
Wow.
You know, from abortion
so
drugs.
So more than half.
So,
wow.
Right, right. And they're dangerous for women, and it's a terrible experience for women. But again, it's all part of promoting that ending of unborn life. The laws have saved lives. So it's interesting that both things are true at the same time.
Yeah.
It's been estimated that about 1,000 babies are saved a month in Texas.
Wow.
Because of our laws. But at the same time, elsewhere.
Yep.
You know, perhaps in the pro-abortion states, abortions are increasing.
Oh, so, huge. Matter of fact, I want to tell you something real quick, Dr. Scott. So I do leadership training, intensive leadership training, and sometimes we get done at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I go back to my room. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been going for 20 hours, so I don't just go to sleep. So I watch TV. And out of New Mexico, there's this abortion clinic that advertises they will pay your airfare. They make it so appealing. Come to New Mexico where you can, oh, it's, and in a break, I'll see two or three of those commercials. It just stunned me. And matter of fact, I want to read something to you real quick. It's by Emily Davis. You know Emily Davis.
She yes, talked
about
course.
Mail order abortion scheme prioritizes politics, not healthcare. I just want to read the opening part because I think she did such a masterful job. She starts this way. She says, when you think about a young woman undergoing an abortion, what picture is painted in your head? Usually, we think of a woman walking into a Planned Parenthood alone, sitting down with an abortionist and undergoing a procedure to end the life of her child. But what if I told you that is not the primary picture of abortions in America today? In fact, despite all the previous protests from abortion activists insisting abortions be allowed and performed in facilities, the brick-and-mortar abortion center has taken a back seat. Basically, you can mail order the death of your child and is being promoted. Is that fair to say?
You absolutely can. And in fact, someone else can mail order the death of your child for you.
Wow.
So just to start at the very beginning, the drug combination approved by the FDA is mifepristone, blocks the hormone progesterone, and ends the life of the embryo or fetus. It's followed about 24 or 48 hours later by misoprostol that induces labor to expel the pregnancy tissue. So the average woman bleeds for a couple of weeks heavily. They describe this pain as severe. It's labor-like pain. And sadly, many of these women will see their aborted child.
Oh my gosh.
And the FDA has over time broken its own rules over and over and over, starting with approving it in 2000 in a rush using accelerated approval regulations that required them to redefine pregnancy as a life-threatening condition for which there is no other treatment available other than ending the life through these pills. So, that, I mean, it's mind-blowing what has happened. But over time, they've removed any kind of restrictions. They've extended the gestational age. They say it doesn't need to be a doctor. Mandatory complication reporting, they said, is unnecessary unless the woman dies. Using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they removed all the in-person supervision. They said that was because the clinics were too dangerous for healthy women to come to for terminations, allowing it to be distributed through telemedicine, through the mail, now through brick-and-mortar pharmacies, and it can be ordered online.
Wow.
So no one is looking to see who's ordering this. Is it a woman who wants an abortion, or is it a sex trafficker, incestuous abuser, coercive boyfriend? There's no way to tell. There is no, they're not doing ultrasounds on these women in advance. A woman that estimates her gestational age, she could be wrong. She could be another month further along, in which case, if she has these pills in the second trimester, the failure rate's about 4 out of 10 that will require surgery.
Wow.
No one's ruling out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy in the tube. These pills do not work on an ectopic, and women have died while pursuing abortion and not knowing that they had an ectopic. No labs. Just any semblance of quality medical care that might have, you know, once existed is gone.
Well, Dr. Scott, this Emily Davis article, and it's just tracking with what you're saying. I have it in front of me. I'm sorry. I just wanted to read one thing, just alludes to what you're talking about. She's talking about this OBGYN doctor, Christina Francis, and she says that the abortion industry's push for telehealth visits for abortion drugs aren't what Americans might picture. And here's a quote. She says, the vast majority of these websites, people get online, they fill out a form, and then the pills are shipped to them. And so there really is no interaction. They're not being screened for intimate partner violence. Or is this a trafficker who's getting online and ordering these drugs in droves so that he can force abortions on his victims? This is what we're dealing with. This is happening every day, correct?
It is happening every day, and apparently 630,000 times last year.
Wow.
In addition, no informed consent. The critical medical concept is risk, benefits, and alternatives. We have no way of knowing the risk because we don't know. Again, nobody's keeping this data. Alternatives, these women don't know that there are 3,000 pregnancy resource centers in this country that would love to walk alongside them and give them support. So many unwanted abortions will occur, as you said. That's just not how we should be treating women. Even if people want abortion to be available, these drugs are four times as dangerous as a surgical abortion.
Wow.
So, and they're being promoted to women. The women are being told this is safer than Tylenol. These girls don't know. You know, the college dorm bathroom has become the new abortion clinic.
Wow.
They think, I take Tylenol for my headache, easy breezy, I'll take these pills, I'll be unpregnant. No, they won't be unpregnant. You can't reverse that process, but they're going to basically go through labor and potentially see their child. And so what are the long-term emotional and mental health consequences that we're setting women up for? We have no way of knowing. The abortion industry does not care. They prioritize the death of that child over the collateral damage that's going to affect the woman.
Well, and you know, we are being conditioned to take pills. And so this just goes along with the narrative. I got this article in front of me. Drug overdoses have reached record high per latest. This is not about abortion. This is just about popping pills, because we pop pills for everything, to get up, to get down, to get excited, to get, you know, not excited. And so here's an article that came out 2 days ago, and it says, in teens, overdose deaths hit an all-time high in 2022. Overdose deaths are now the third leading cause of deaths in teen. 22 high school students died weekly from drug overdoses in 2022. Overdoses are still the leading cause of death for adults in the country. So this goes along. We're so used to popping pills. So now you got a pregnancy, just pop a pill. So it goes right along the line of the narrative that we're being pushed towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's stunning.
It's really heartbreaking.
Let me go over a couple of these stats real quick, if you don't mind. He said, I'm reading the stat sheet here. The rate of chemical abortion-related emergency room visits is up 500% since 2000. Is that an accurate figure?
Yeah, I mean, that goes along with the increased utilization of the pills. But that particular study is very interesting. I was a co-author on that study.
Mm-hmm.
Another important stat that came out of that is that 1 out of 20 women sought care in an emergency room after these abortion drugs.
Wow.
So 1 out of 20. And again, when we think about, you know, more than 500,000 abortions, that's a lot of women that are in our emergency rooms, which are already overwhelmed. It's traumatic for the women. The doctors don't even know what's going on. That study demonstrated that 60% of the time they were miscoded as having been due to a miscarriage. So the women aren't telling, the doctors don't know, and a follow-up study demonstrated that if the doctors didn't know what was going on, those women averaged 3 ER visits before they got the treatment that they needed, which was usually surgery to remove the tissue, because these drugs don't always extrude the tissue. So about probably 7% of the time, they need surgery to remove the tissue. About 15% of the time, they have a hemorrhage. They bleed so heavily. So as an aside, that study, those two studies were targeted and were retracted.
Wow.
Not that there was anything wrong with our data, not that anyone ever proved that we said anything that wasn't correct, but purely for political ideology, they were targeted, because apparently nothing that doesn't paint abortion in a positive light is allowed to exist in the peer-reviewed literature. There's a lot more to be said about that on our website, lozierinstitute.org, if anyone's interested. But that's the world that we're living in, that the science has become so politicized that high-quality studies that show the harms of abortion are targeted.
Wow, that's, and again, from the article by Emily, she says, she talks about Elizabeth Gillette. She says one of the women that reached out to her, and she said that she now suffers PTSD from taking the abortion drugs after, I can't even read this, after seeing her child in the toilet. Oh my gosh. She shares, no matter how you feel about abortion, women like me exist. Women have found themselves on the bathroom floor, just like me, in pools of blood. I can't even, it's hard to read this. I really hope through this process that the Supreme Court will understand that we are here. So this is why you guys are in front of the Supreme Court, correct? This is the reason.
Yeah, that was the reason. The conversation last week when it did was argued was interesting, because mostly it centered around, do the doctors of the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, the pro-life doctors, don't perform abortions and are being called in to clean up these messes, these complications, because the abortion industry, in many cases, maybe it's a doctor in New York sending the pills into Texas. So they're totally unavailable for these women. The question is whether we have standing, whether we and these women have been harmed. Of course, there is harm being done. And the government's attorney said, actually, no one has standing to sue the FDA, that the FDA should be allowed, that they are wow. close to science, wow. and they should be allowed to do whatever they want. And I think, again, regardless of how you feel about yeah. abortion, Americans are starting to wake up to the fact that these three-letter bureaucratic agencies yeah. many times are not following the science. They're following some sort of ideology. And this needs to be reined in. So this is a very, very important case. I do hope the Supreme Court gives us standing and then looks at the case yeah. on its merits.
I want to talk about a couple of those points real quick while I got you here. I want to get as much out of you as I can. So not sure. only did you guys get, you guys are fighting for standing, which makes sense to me. I got this nice article here from, and I think your life's lifeaction.org. And it talks about four out really surprising arguments the government's making. Shock number one, FDA claimed to have sovereign immunity from lawsuits. What is that what you're saying? Is that what you just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what they said is no one can question the FDA, wow. that they are an unaccountable government agency. That was the argument that was made.
Wow. Shock number two, FDA portrays tens of thousands of abortion pillers visits as small. So what do they consider big? They think 10,000, right?
Well, see, that's the problem, is that the abortion industry, there's not even a standard definition of what is a complication after these pills.
Yeah.
You know, many times the abortion industry says only if a woman gets hospitalized, has to have a major surgery or transfusion or dies. Those are the only complications we think are worthwhile in some of those studies. So again, they try to minimize it. They say, well, you know, 2 to 4.5%. But again, when you're talking about 630,000 abortions,
yeah.
that's a lot of harmed women. And what other drug would we allow if 1 out of 20 women went to the emergency room after taking it? When would the American people tolerate that?
I could say one word. I won't do it. Probably get in trouble. It starts with a C and ends with a D. But isn't this when they started this? When they no longer tracked it from the injection that they gave people, they would not track adverse reactions, correct? A same similar pattern here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the FDA, abortion drugs are not the only situation where they have proven themselves to be captured ideologically. I think in terms of COVID, there was yep. a lot of pharmaceutical industry capture. And we see the heads of the FDA going over to Pfizer and back and forth. So, yeah, I think that there just definitely yeah. needs to be some accountability on some of these organizations.
And here's the stunning one. Shock number three, abortion pill manufacturer. I heard this interview. I got some good tape on it. Abortion pill manufacturers say restricting sales will hurt their business. Wow. That's their argument, mm-hmm. that we need to make more money, so we got to kill more babies. I mean, that's really an argument they made?
Well, that was Justice Alito who pressed them and continued to press them until she acknowledged that, yes, oh, that is the case. That company, the only drug they make is mifepristone.
That's it.
So, of course, it is in their best interest. See how far we've come. No wow. one's even acknowledging. It was never acknowledged in front of the Supreme Court. We're ending a life with wow. every dose of this mifepristone. We are a company whose only job is to kill.
Wow.
But that's exactly what is the case, and apparently make money doing it.
Wow. Shock claim number four. Attorney claims non-death injury info is still collected with zero evidence. So they don't track anything except a death, correct?
That is the only thing that is mandatorily reported. And, you know, even when it was the case that it was to be reported, good studies documented that probably less than 1 out of 20 complications were actually reported, because there was no enforcement mechanisms, no penalties for noncompliance. If you ask the abortion industry to report their complications, do you think they're going to do it if they're not going to get in trouble for not doing it?
No.
But yeah, so it's just like with the COVID vaccine and other COVID-related products. The only mechanism the FDA has for knowing about complications is voluntary reporting to the adverse events reporting system. Wow. And it's very hard, as a doctor, I can tell you, it's very hard to report to those systems. And so probably a lot of people who might be inclined to report get discouraged. And most doctors, I believe, think that there's better systems in place than there are. So they assume someone's looking at this. They don't realize it's actually not happening.
That's just stunning. They're doing everything they can to take it any emotion, any humane connection at all, and just make it a transaction. That's what's going on. That's why the abortion industry does not want to offer ultrasounds to mothers, because what is the data when a woman sees an ultrasound, how that changes her decision?
Oh, absolutely. Many, many women. In fact, in the setting of a pregnancy resource center where they can come alongside and give emotional support, it's upwards of 80 to 90% of the women who will choose life for their child when they see their baby on an ultrasound.
Wow, that is stunning. And I got a friend of mine, a guy who works with me, he has a business, and what they do is they reach out to these pregnancy resource centers and they help them get picked. So when people do a search for abortions, they actually set it up on the SEO search where these organizations come up and actually get ahead of Planned Parenthood. So it's pretty impressive what he does. But I said, listen, I'm going to interview Dr. Scott again. And I said, you got any question for her? And he's in your arena. So this is what he does. And he said this. He said, ask about the crazy instruction girls are given on some of the abortion pill websites. He says, how they are told not to go to the hospital, even if something goes wrong, and how instead of proper dosage, some instructions just say, keep taking more pills until you start bleeding. Is this true?
That is absolutely the case. Many times these drugs do not cause all of the dead tissue to be expressed. So women will continue to bleed and suffer pain until that tissue has been expressed. The abortion industry knows this. And many times when they mail these pills, or when they give them to them in a clinic, they'll give them two or sometimes three times the dose of misoprostol. So that's the second drug that causes uterine contractions. So they'll tell them, you know, take the indicated dose, but if you continue to bleed and have pain, go ahead and take another dose. And oh, by the way, take another dose. So these women, again, they're hoping that they will eventually pass the tissue without going to an emergency room. When they do go to an emergency room, they do tell the women often, if you should seek emergency care, do not tell them you took abortion drugs. The doctors cannot tell, and it will not make a difference in your treatment. But as I mentioned, the study that was targeted that we published demonstrated these women had twice the risk of being hospitalized and required an average of three times as many ER visits before getting the treatment that they needed. So it was not true that the treatment would be the same if the doctors didn't know what was going on.
Deception.
Again, these women are just suffering for long, long periods of time.
No, that's just sad. And this is why what you're doing at your institute, and there's so many organizations. So yours is the Lozier Institute, correct? Tell us again about what you guys do.
Yeah, so LozierInstitute.org. We are science and statistics for life issues. And it is the case that science supports a pro-life position from the very beginning with fertilization, a new genetically distinct, complex, beautiful human being. So we want to educate the American public because, as we mentioned earlier, they don't understand the issue. Once we can help people understand this is a living human being, many women are coerced. Many of the reasons that you think abortions are happening are not what you think. Then we can start having a conversation about in what situations does our country, which considers itself a moral country, do we allow elective killing of human beings? So when we're able to approach it that way and also point out the harms to women, not just physically like we're discussing, but emotionally, mental health. High quality studies tell us a woman is 6 to 7 times as likely to commit suicide in the year following an abortion than following childbirth. So it's much, much better for women to have their child.
Well, Dr. Scott, I do counseling and all that, and I work with a lot of young people, and I just shared on my radio show about a month ago, a lady I'd been counseling, and she went through my training, changed her life, but she said, I need to talk to you. And this is an incredible, intelligent, beautiful young lady. She's a child of God. But what she shared with me, she had gotten pregnant. No one knew, and she aborted the child. And she since that time was never able to look at herself. She went to church and felt dirty and filthy. And I helped her process that and explain to her, you know, about God's forgiveness and to change a heart, the repentance, all that. And here's this woman now that has the rest of her life. She was done living because she had, no one even knew about it. She had so much pain, so much shame, so much psychological stuff going on that it just blew me away. This woman had everything going for her, but she was encouraged to do something. She did it because of fear, and man, it destroyed her, and she had everything going for her. So I counsel people, and it's brutal. They don't forget. Decades later, they're still beating themselves up.
Yeah, and she's not the only one. Guttmacher tells us that more than half of women obtaining abortions are Christian. And Barna recently told us that in regular churchgoers, people who are in the pews week after week, 16% of the men and the women have a history of abortion. Wow. And yet we see, I mean, there's wonderful counseling programs in many churches, but we see that by and large, pastors won't address the issue from the pulpit. They won't talk about it. And the church needs to be talking about this issue so desperately, because again, these women need to be reconciled with their Savior. This is something that they can receive forgiveness for.
So let's bring this up to date. So I'm just some notes I have here. So these, when you guys argued in front of the Supreme Court, I'm just reading that was sent to me. It said the Supreme Court hearing was the first time that the justices will weigh in on the issue of abortion since they overturned Roe v. Wade on June 24th. And I guess what happened, the Fifth Circuit reinstated some safety measures back in August. Can you kind of bring us up to date what this was all about in front of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, so the history of this court case, it was about a year ago that it started in Amarillo. And based on the large amount of information that we did give the court about complications and harm to women, Judge Kaczmarek said he agreed that it should never have been approved. Again, they broke their own rules to approve it, the FDA did. When it went to the Fifth Circuit, they also felt the data was very, very compelling, but they felt that enough time had gone by because, again, it was approved in 2000, over 24 years ago. They said we wouldn't back it all the way back to the initial approval, but we would take it back to the initial safeguards that were actually removed in 2016. So that means that it would be a doctor prescribing it, that we would mandate complication reporting, that it would be used only up to 7 weeks gestation because there's far fewer complications earlier in pregnancy. And so I think that if the Supreme Court agrees with that, it will protect many, many women from these harmful drugs. The way it's being given right now without any supervision is a horrible way to treat women. It's interesting how Roe, at the time of Roe, they said self-managed abortion is very dangerous. We need to legalize it. Now we've come full circle where self-managed abortion is what they're promoting.
Wow. Wow. It's distraction. It's a sleight of hand. And NLP, we call it sleight of mouth. Same thing. It's trickery. It's programming. And the human brain can be easily programmed. It's happened to every one of us. We just got to be aware of it. And so what can people do? How do we get in the fight? Help us. Give us marching orders. What do we do, doctor?
Well, I think the very first thing people need to do is educate themselves on this issue. Come to LozierInstitute.org. Do some reading. Go to the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, who are the group primarily that brought the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine lawsuit against the FDA, and learn the facts. Learn how women are harmed by these drugs. Talk to your friends. Talk to your pastors. Again, encourage the church to be brave on this issue, to engage. The Bible is very, very clear. God lovingly crafted us in our mother's womb. He had plans for every single human being that he created from before the time of birth. And so this is really the ultimate moral issue facing our society. So the if the church were to get engaged, if the church were to talk about it, if we were all educated on the harms, I think we'd be having a completely different conversation in our country right now.
Amen. And Mr. Kahn wrote the book about
Jonathan Kahn,
Return of the Gods, and all this Molech.
Oh, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
We're sacrificing our children for pleasure and prosperity.
Yeah, and for convenience. Convenience, right? Oh, I can't have a baby. And now you got people saying, I'm so proud of my abortions because without those abortions, I wouldn't be as famous. Like, wow, are you hearing what you're saying? So I think
we must pray for those women. Oh. They've been deluded.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So before I let you go, and I appreciate your time so much, I know how busy you are. Well, anything else you'd like our listeners to know any other information or any other last things you'd like to share?
Well, I just think it's important to recognize that pro-life laws not only will protect babies, but they will protect their mothers. Maternal mortality is not going to go up. It's going to go down because preventing abortion will protect women from many harms, particularly mental health harms. And just to look at the issues, not to be persuaded by the dramatic statements like you're going to lose access to birth control or IVF. These are obviously just fear-mongering tactics that have no truth to them.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. I know God's glorified by what you're doing, and it's a battle. In today's world, where basically if you're pro-life, you see it. We're losing elections and all that, but I always tell people it doesn't matter what the world says. The right thing is the right thing no matter what anybody else says, and this is the right thing.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to share with you some audio. And I want you to have a better understanding of the type of people who are pushing this radical agenda. I think it's important for you to hear what these pharmaceutical companies really think about the drugs they sell for the sole purpose of ending life in the womb. It is truly stunning how their main concern is not health. It is not safety. It is not life of either the baby or the mother. Their number one concern is how much money they can make in the process. Check this out. This is Samuel Leto asking some questions.
I gather your injury is that you think you're going to sell more if the restrictions that previously were in place were lifted.
Yes.
So you're going to make more money.
The injury is that we are prevented from selling our product in line with FDA's scientific judgment about the safe and efficacious use of the drug.
And you're going to be harmed because you're going to sell more.
I think that certainly a company's ability to market its product is a part of how it considers the regulatory scheme that governs its conduct.
Do you think the FDA is infallible?
No, Your Honor. We don't think that at all. And we don't think that question is really teed up in any way in this case.
Has the FDA ever approved a drug and then pulled it after experience showed that it had a lot of really serious adverse consequences?
It has certainly done that. There is no drug on the market today under any REMS that requires the kind of reporting that the plaintiffs are saying should be reimposed here.
So why would that be a bad thing? Wouldn't your company, you don't want to sell a product that causes very serious harm to the people who take your product relying on your tests and the FDA's tests. Wouldn't you want that data?
Your Honor, that data is certainly something that we are looking for all the time.
Wow. I'm just stunned. And I am so thankful that we have justices like Alito, like Clarence Thomas, that seem to be more concerned with the welfare of the mothers and their baby than pleasing huge companies and making more profit. But winning a court case does not mean winning the hearts and minds of people. And that is where the true battle takes place. And that is what we do at Way of Warrior. We work on the two things. We work on the heart and we work on the mind, because the greatest asset of any team is the hearts and minds of their people. And when we can re-engage the heart and we can clean up the thinking, then that person's better. And when they're better, every relationship they have, they're better bosses, better coworkers, better human beings, better spouses, better parents, and we have better families and we have better communities. And this, ladies and gentlemen, just might change the world. This is maybe the biggest battle of our generation. And it takes courageous warriors like Dr. Skop and countless others to fight this fight. But we have a role to play as well. We need to be involved. The time is now, not by angrily yelling at those we disagree with, but by demonstrating love, for God so loved the world, he did something about it. That's what love is. It's a verb. For you so love your country, you do something about it. We've got to demonstrate love and understanding and meeting people in their map of reality. Because if I can understand you a little bit better and you can understand me a little bit better, doesn't it make sense that we're in a position to have a better relationship? We don't need more arguing. We need more compassion. Thank you so much for listening to the Way of Warrior podcast. We would love it if you would like this show and subscribe for more powerful content like this. Also, if you would like to learn more about Way of Warrior or would like to connect with me personally, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training. I look forward to talking to you next time. And remember, when you live your life like it matters, it does. It's the Way of Warrior.